It's so wonderful to sit with people sitting still. And although this retreat has been a still retreat from the start, one can feel the settledness of it growing as the retreat progresses. And we say things like, trust the practice. Trust the practice. Meaning that even though often things appear to be difficult, we feel we're struggling, we feel we're not as sharp and as loving as we were last time or the time before. Something's moving in the depths where we can't see it, but it's there, it's palpable. And if we try and look too closely at it, it disappears like a shy boy. And when we're looking the other way, up he pops. Means trust the practice. Trust that when we're giving ourselves to something completely, something is happening. Something beautiful is being touched. Something very profound, profoundly beyond our ability to describe it, to manipulate it, to capture it. It's happening. And part of our practice is tuning into that place beyond the words. Tuning into the fine sounds of this universe that we inhabit. And one of the things that happens is that little kindnesses pop up. I realized this last night when I did my ninth bow, and a little voice said, "That's nine." And you see it everywhere, people helping someone who needs food served up, someone who needs a cushion changed, someone who needs their body healed, someone whose plate is taken. Small, small things, but very precious and very significant things, because they're embodiments of our practice, embodiments of our precepts. Of course, together with that goes the kind of relaxation into the retreat, and what I think it was Rob, who practiced with Roshi Joan Halifax sometime, she's called leaking. I think I'm right, Rob, is that correct? Leaking. Don't leak. Don't know what she meant, but that. Didn't mean that either. But sometimes one gets to enjoy a retreat so much that you think, okay, I'll do this forever. And you start chatting to everybody, and there are little engagements happening everywhere. And And there's a lovely intimacy in that, and a sort of camaraderie. But it's also very easy to leak out the energy that is building up in the retreat. The momentum just begins to turn down again, leaking. Okay, it's easy for it to happen, so it means taking some attention, taking a step back, looking at one's practice and saying, okay, let me just keep going. Let me at least see what happens if I don't fall back into my old habits of relating. Let me at least give myself that opportunity to see what happens. If I don't do it, I won't find out. And I'm also bringing other people into my space the whole time when I'm doing this. So it affects their leakage. Of course, that's just another point of practice. It's not really right or wrong. It just means, how do I practice when this is happening? Someone wants to talk to me all the time and crack jokes. How do I relate to that? And again, there's no right or wrong of that. We'll do it clearly sometimes and less clearly others. But just to be awake to that, just to be awake to that part of our practice. And we don't have to be helping people all the time. Sometimes helping, hovering around, trying to help can be more hindrance than help. So we have to be very clear. Everybody has to be clear in that. And sometimes helping means just taking care of one's own space and just following the schedule meticulously. That's also great support, great generosity. So the retreat, like any other living organism, has these ebbs and flows, and our job is just to practice inside that. Sometimes things are very funny, sometimes there's wonderful camaraderie that develops, and sometimes it's time to just be quiet and still and focused and recall the feeling of that, the felt sense of that kind of energy. And that's keeping the precepts. Some of you are taking additional precepts end of this retreat. Some are asking about taking precepts the five precepts. I'll talk about that maybe tomorrow, but precepts are a kind of a mnemonic, a kind of a aid to practice, a kind of a commitment. I commit to certain things. For instance, the 10th precept, thou not to slander the three treasures. Okay, wonderful. It's just an aid to practice. It's not a commandment. It's not imposed from the outside. It's something one says, I will do my best to honor the three treasures, in this case Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. And like with any other part of our practice, success or failure is not the point. People often say, oh, I'm so bad, I couldn't keep the precepts off. Something like that. That's big thinking mind, judging mind. We really keep the precepts when we just are willing to try however many times we fail, or we think we fail. And like the rest of our practice, precepts or any other kind of instruction, it's not about winning or losing or attaining something or not attaining something. It's just being willing to try, try, try. Tay Sun Sinim used to say, try, try, try for 10,000 years non-stop. Because in that willingness to give oneself to something regardless of the outcome is already a great practice of selfless commitment and sincerity. It's a bit like a little boy who practices his cricket day in and day out, day in, day out, never gets into a team. And that never stops him trying. It's like me trying to count the number of spoons in the porridge in the morning. I keep trying. You keep trying to eat it. Okay. So, just back to these three treasures, this precept, because I'm trying to weave the precepts into these talks occasionally, because some of us are thinking about them a lot. So how do we not slander the Buddha? Great question. How do I not slander the Buddha? I slander the Buddha by honoring the Buddha. How do I honor the Buddha? I wake up from the sticky mess of endless thinking and judging and blaming and opinioning and arguing. And the kind of self-fascination that goes with that, and the isolation and loneliness that goes with that, that is part of that. I wake up from that into what? I wake up. And if I don't wake up, I keep trying to wake up. That is honoring the Buddha. The Dharma, the teaching that tells us that when we are just so fascinated with ourselves and our opinions and all of that, running talk and conversation we have all the time, that we feel stuck in that, and we feel isolated in it, and we feel blocked, and life doesn't flow and have that feeling of completeness and lightness. And it tells us that when we just stop doing that, really great freedom is present. So we hear the teachings. How do we honor them? How do we attain the teaching? It means how do we embody them in our lives? And when we don't embody them, am I willing to keep trying to embody them? To step beyond blaming myself, feeling inadequate, giving up, blaming the Dharma, blaming the teacher, blaming all these people around me that inspire me. just trying to do it. Again, any sense of gaining anything? Zen Master De Gakwe says, nobody comes to Zen retreats because they don't get anything here. You can't give them a certificate, I can't give them a badge, I can't give them prosperity, I can't even offer them peace of mind. Go to the Tina Turner School of chanting prosperity. But when we listen to a sense of achievement in this practice, already we are attaining the Dharma, honoring the Dharma, not slandering the Dharma. In the Sangha, how do I not slander the Sangha? Honor the Sangha, how do I do it? Can I just keep in my own space? All the little intimacies that arise when we're all paying attention and being really careful about our lives, and really meticulous. The lightness that comes through that. And when I find myself trapped in myself, I'm willing to start again. From wherever I am, from the wherever I find myself, however lost I think I am, however mistaken I appear to be, however useless I am at koans. I'm willing to keep coming. Bow, heart sinking. Okay. That's wonderful practice. That's the heart of the practice. And when we honor one of the three treasures, we honor them all. The teaching device of dividing them up and so on is just to help us at a certain point. This, when we honor one, we honor them all. When we kind to somebody, we attain the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. When we wake up and see the floor in front of us, we attain the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. So this morning, morning walking up the road, this long line, talking to myself. My wife says it's Freedom Day today. Yes. She says you must make a talk about Freedom Day. Yes, yes. Okay. So what are you going to say? Don't know. Okay, but get into trouble if you don't say something. Yes. Okay. So what are you going to say? I'll think about it later. No, I think you should think about it now. Okay. So, what are you going to say? No. I think I can only talk about Freedom Day if I attain freedom. Yes. So, sorry about that. Okay. So, what are you going to say? Don't know. Don't deceive yourself, okay. If you talk about Freedom Day without attaining freedom, you're deceiving others. Yeah. So when you're going to think about it? Later. Okay. I think you should stop thinking now. Okay. Now you sound like my wife. Yeah. Yeah. She just never listens. I think we'll have to nail her down to her bed. Okay, I think we should do that. Should we do it together? Okay. Would you start? We'll get Wolfie to help us. Okay. Okay. But perhaps you should stop thinking and attain some freedom. Okay, I'll do that when I'm sitting down after the chanting. Okay, I think you should do it now. Okay, now you sound like her again. Okay. Okay, what are you going to say? I don't know. This is getting tiring. Yes, yes, yes. Wah! Frost touches the little grass. The larks run between the bushes. My heart is as wide as the deep blue sky. Happy Freedom Day, everybody.